open your Bibles now to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm 91. If you have need of a Bible, simply raise your hand good and high. It's fine. Gentlemen, we'll provide one for you. Psalm 91, Ephesians 6, Luke 4, John 11. And unfortunately for you all, my wife is not here, so it will be a long Bible study. Who's filling in for? Did I hear that? Oh, you'll step in for? Yeah. Not afraid of you. You can be afraid. Psalm 91. Certainly a psalm that hits close to home for myself and for many of us in this church. And I just thought, before we get into 1 Peter, I figured we'd just take a look at this psalm as, again, the last Sunday of 2013. For this was certainly the psalm that carried my wife through one of the hardest seasons in her life. Many of you know, June 21st of this year, I had sudden cardiac death, and I died for, I guess, a few minutes. And it was this psalm that God led my wife to. She shared this before. It's one of those things, Lord, give me your word, and just kind of feather through your Bible and open it up to something. And Psalm 91. And as I've been studying it and looking at it this week, boy, it's one of those psalms that many believers claim for themselves. Many believers have taken this psalm and just dug through this, the things that it says and the promises that are there, and have taken them for themselves. And rightly so. Rightly so, because it's the truth of God's word. But we're going to see very clearly that this is a messianic psalm, a psalm that speaks of our perfect Lord Jesus Christ. So before we get started, as we look to this psalm to just encourage us this morning, let us pray and ask God to show us all that he wants to show us through his scriptures. Pray with me. Father, we are so grateful for your word. And Lord, I would pray that there would be a hunger in this room right now for all that are here. A hunger for your word. A hunger for the scriptures. Certainly as a Calvary Chapel, we should teach, read through the scriptures verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Not missing one word, not skipping over one jot or one tittle. For your word is powerful. Your word speaks to us. And it's your word that guides us in our lives. And so for that reason, we don't just come to talk about stories that have happened or things that are going on in our world or tell some applicable jokes. No, Lord, we're here to study your word. And so I pray for the hearts of all of us that we are ready to receive the scriptures, that they would, in fact, strengthen us today and all the days ahead. Bless this time. We bind the enemy and his principalities from this place, that not one thing that you want to speak to your people would be missed. We love you, Lord. We thank you in advance for what you're doing here. For it's in your great name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. If you make it a practice to read through the Psalms, Psalm 91 is a psalm of life. Psalm 90, if you've ever read that one, it's a psalm of death. And so it's an interesting contrast. For in Adam all die, therefore Psalm 90 speaks of that death. But through Jesus Christ, that perfect man, the Messiah, Psalm 91 pictures for us that psalm of life. That psalm that if we put our trust in, our hope in, and our confidence in a God who gives us these promises, then we will see him provide for us. We will see him protect us and care for our lives. Now, it doesn't mean as believers that our lives are perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go our way. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be struggles. And we're going to see very quickly and very contrasting between our lives and the Lord's lives, that if we would remain the way Jesus would remain connected to the Heavenly Father, these promises would be ours. But many times we find ourselves drifting in and out of that closeness with the Lord. Seasons in your life, I know, the Lord was speaking to you. Every scripture that you read was just fuel for the soul. Other times you're reading and it's like drudging through it. Why am I not hearing? Why is heaven not speaking to me? And it's those seasons in life that we just go in and out. Not so with the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? Jesus was in perfect fellowship with the Father, listen, from the day he was born to the day he died. Perfect connection to the Father. And we can be secure in God if we stay connected to him. If we stay connected in fellowship, in prayer, in breaking of bread, in studying the Word, if we stay in that place. And many of us know this. We know that when we remain, when we wake up in the morning and we start off with prayer and we start off with devotion and we equip ourselves and prepare ourselves as we put on that armor of God, that we know it's going to be a good day. And we know, some of us in this room, that when we don't have a chance, when the alarm didn't go off and when we're late and we rush, oh boy, look out, right? Every red light, everybody's cutting you off. All the things at work are going to go wrong for you. And it's like, oh, didn't get to do my devotion. Seasons. But we can be secure in God no matter what happens. No matter the circumstances, these promises can be for us. See, Psalm 91's primary interpretation concerns the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the primary focus. And we're going to see that even the enemy knew that. We'll talk about it. But in a lesser way, we may assign these promises to ourselves. We may highlight these things in our Bibles and say, I claim that for myself, to encourage me and to spur me on to continue with the Lord. Because the psalmist who wrote this was convinced that there is security in trusting in, listen, the Most High God. We'll see it in here. He trusted in God. He encouraged himself that he would be delivered from the various attacks of the wicked, of the evil in his day, and certainly of the enemy. He knew that the Lord had appointed his angels over him to protect him. Guardian angels, those heavenly beings that are here amongst us, if you believe, that are here amongst us to care for us and direct us, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in you is there to help us in our time of need. Psalm 91, I'm going to give us four things that believers must consider to remain secure in God. Four things. Let's read through the psalm first. Verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What a beautiful psalm. Beautiful words written, wonderful words written inside the scriptures for us to see and for us to claim and for us to hide in our hearts. For those times in our lives when things do get difficult, we can look to this psalm to strengthen us and to carry us through. But there's, see, if we want to remain secure in God, I don't know if you noticed it, but there's several things that we must look at and consider. Are these things in my life? Do I look to God in this way and in this light? The first thing, to be secure in God, I must remain in his provision. I must remain in his provision. See where it says in verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is this place? Where must we remain? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. And then we see also, shall abide. These two words, dwells and abides. In the original language, both mean to remain. Dwelling means to remain, to sit, to inhabit, to keep. So if we stay, if we inhabit, if we remain in the secret place of the Most High, in the protection of God, in his presence. What is that saying? Everybody says, you know, stand under the spout where the blessings come out. Right? It's like, stay in that place of God's safety. Stay in that provision that he has for us. As Christians, listen, I hate to tell you, as Christians, we do have some boundaries that God has set. Some limits that our lives must remain in. And I don't know about you, but I look at those limits and I look at those boundaries as protection from God. I don't look at them as, oh, God's limiting me. No, I'm like, God has given me this room to work in. If I step outside of that, I'm no longer in his grace. I'm no longer in his will. I'm no longer pleasing him because I've stepped outside of the boundaries that he's set for me. So we must remain there. The word abide, to remain, to lodge, to spend the night, to stay. To stay in that place. If you remain in the secret place of the Most High, listen, you will remain, what does it say? You will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. If you remain in his safety, you'll remain in his blessings. That's the simple truth that this scripture is saying. So I must remain in his provision. He has provided for us as believers boundaries and limits to remain in. There are consequences to our sins. There are consequences of the things that we do stepping outside of those boundaries. And it's our responsibility to come back to the Lord very quickly in those times, ask for that forgiveness, and feel the presence of God come back over us. Remain in the secret place, and God will remain under, or you will remain under the shadow of God. And as we're looking at this, as this messianic psalm written about Jesus Christ, Jesus' life was perfectly connected. He remained completely in God. That's what we see, perfectly connected to the Heavenly Father. And as I said in my opening, our problem is we go in and out. Our problem is we feel close to the Lord one day, the next day we feel a bit distant from the Lord. For one season, we feel like we're on fire with our God. Everything that we do, everything that we touch is blessed. And then the next time, it's like, why is nothing going right for us? See, we're not constantly staying connected, but we have the opportunity to, do we not? We have the opportunity to stay in that attitude of prayer with God, in that connection with prayer, with the Lord, communicating with him constantly. We have the ability, we just don't do it, do we? That's our problem. Notice, if you will, two different names for God here. The Most High and the Almighty. The Most High and the Almighty. The Most High God is first found in Genesis chapter 14 by a man named Melchizedek. A picture in the Old Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the name he gives to them. Genesis 14, verse 19 and 20. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth, a tithe of all. That's Melchizedek speaking about the first time, the Most High. Guys, there's none higher than our God. There's none greater than our God. He is the Most High God. He is the one that we have the blessed opportunity to stay connected in, to stay connected with, to stay under his blessings, and there's none greater than him. Why is it then that we find ourselves constantly looking to other things besides him? Why do we go to other crutches, other things in this world to think we're going to find satisfaction than to go to the Most High God? The one who can speak to us, the one who can communicate to us, and the one that can protect us. He is the Most High, none higher, none greater than God. He is the Almighty. Almighty, listen to this. A title for the true God with a focus on the power to complete promises of blessing and prosperity. Again, a focus on the power to complete promises of blessing and prosperity. He is the Almighty because when he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise to you, he will fulfill it. When he speaks to your heart, you can absolutely bet the bank that is going to come to pass. That is the God that we serve. He's the highest, he's the greatest, he's the Almighty, he keeps his word. He keeps his promises. It is our job to hide those promises in our hearts and to hear his voice speak to us and tell us where to go. He is the Most High. He is the Almighty. My question is he yours? Is he yours? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listen, the psalmist says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Do you see the confidence in the psalmist here? This is the God that I'm putting my life into. This is the God that I'm confident that will be my refuge, be my fortress. He's my God. Claim him personally. That's the beauty of this God that we serve. He loves you. He loves you more than anything on the planet. And he's your God. Claim him for yourself. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Can you say that today? Can you stand today and say, he is my refuge? He's my protector. He's my deliverer. He's my provider. Is he yours? Or is he only your provider when he's doing it for you? When he's providing and everything's blessed, that's cool. And then when things go bad, you know what? That God thing didn't really work. No. If he's your God, he's your God. In him I will trust. Psalm 37, verse 5 says, commit your ways to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. It's one of my favorite verses. Commit your ways, O Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. See, we can commit things to God. God, I give you all this. God, I give you my week. God, I give you my workplace. God, I give. But then it's that trusting part. It's that part in the middle. Commit it to him, but then we don't trust him with it. It's like, Lord, I'm going to give this to you, but I'm going to take it back to you, take it back from you on Monday. I'll give it back to you on Friday. Trusting in him. Trust in him. You know the problem with trusting? It's the uncertainty. The uncertainty. When we trust either with our head, we got to trust with our heart that God has been found faithful. Are you trusting him? Have you seen him do things in your life? Have you seen him do things in others' lives? That's where you can learn to experience the goodness of God. So not only must I remain in his provision, number two, I must stay under his protection. I must stay under his protection. Verse 3 says, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Surely he shall deliver you. Now, again, we're going to be thinking this is spoken to the Lord Jesus Christ from God. These are the promises that he's given to the Lord. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the works of the enemy, the trappings of the enemy. That's what it's saying here. See, God knows the trappings that the enemy is going to use in your life. God knows the things that the enemy is going to try to put into your life to cause you to stumble. And if we remain in him, he will deliver us from those snares. He will deliver us from those difficult times. Do you realize? Gosh, you must realize that the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to do everything he can to stir in you anger, frustration, uncontentment, or what's the, that's probably not a word, but discontentment, whatever that is. He's going to stir those things in your life. He wants you to be miserable. He wants you to be dead, really. He doesn't want you to trust in God. He doesn't want you to put your faith and hope in Jesus Christ and the power of God's word. He wants you to, so he's going to trip you up. Now, I don't know about you. At least me knowing that he's going to trip me up helps me prepare for him to trip me up. So he is doing these things. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, the difficulties that we find in life. But notice in the next part of verse 4, he says, his truth shall be your shield and buckler. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Buckler. Circle the word truth. Alongside that word truth, you can write the word faithfulness. Faithfulness. It's the same word. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. His faithfulness shall be your shield and buckler. What is a shield? You know what a shield is. What's a buckler? It's a little round shield that's worn on the forearm. So not only is he going to be your big shield, he's also going to be this smaller shield to fend off the enemies. His faithfulness, his truth, we can apply his word as truth, his faithfulness to his word is that thing that's going to be the shield. It's going to be that thing that protects us, right? My question is, are you using your shield? Are you holding your shield? Are you prepared with your buckler to take what? The fiery darts of the enemy, right? Is that right? Keep your place in Psalm. We're going to come right back. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 14. Actually, we'll go back to verse 13. Ephesians 6 and 13. It's the armor of God, Scripture. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, Paul says, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Guys, it's our faith that is our shield. Truth and faithfulness that we read in the psalm, it's our faith in Jesus Christ, it's our faith in God and in his strength and his power that is the thing that protects us. Our faith, stirring your faith. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench how many of the darts? All of them. Is the enemy beating on you? Is the enemy getting in? Is he getting into your life? Is he getting into your peace? Is he getting into your mind? Is he messing with your thoughts? Is he dealing with your emotions? He's shooting these fiery darts at you. As all believers, the enemy wants to do this. It's our job with our faith, the shield of faith, to stand there and say, every dart you throw at me is going to be defeated. Every dart you throw at me is going to ricochet off me. It's not going to harm me. It's going to touch me. You can speak a lie to me, but I'm not going to believe it because I believe God's word. You can try to steal my peace, but there's perfect peace in the love of Jesus Christ. That shield of faith, believing that, trusting in that, hoping in that, staying under his protection behind that shield. You know, people will say, you know, don't forget every morning, put on the armor of God. Put on your armor. Make sure you put it all on. Get every piece. If you've been with me any longer, you know I say put it on and don't ever take it off. Nowhere does it say take it off. So don't wake up in the morning and put it on. Why'd you take it off? Sleep in it. Sleep with the sword. Sleep with the shield. Sleep with those things on you, keeping that helmet of salvation. Just have it with you at all times. See, my fear is if we have to keep putting it on, that means we're setting it aside. That means we're, you know, the belt of truth? Are we setting the belt of truth aside? No, we have to have the truth always with us. That's what Jesus did with his temptations, what we'll look at in a minute. He combated the enemy's lies with the truth of God's word. So we need to keep that truth with us at all times. Hold that shield up high, that shield of faith, trusting in God. So I'm saying if you're in here and you're getting hit by some of the darts, increase your faith. You serve the Most High God, the Almighty. You know, people are afraid of demons and the enemy. And I don't know what it is with me, but they're nothing to me. Why? Because God's greater. God's bigger. God's mightier. I don't have to be afraid of this. You know, some of these people like watching these horror shows on TV. These, what do they call them, the hauntings and stuff. It's like messed up. Messed up. My wife does it. She's messed up. She loves them. She's like, where else can you watch on secular TV that they say the name Jesus Christ and makes everything better? I said, yeah, I'll give you that. But the hype with all this stuff, it's like, if you've got darkness, if you've got evil, I believe the enemy can push in and can bring oppression on believers. I believe that with all my heart. But I believe as believers, we have something greater to attack those things, mightier. I mean, I stand in confidence in my armor with knowing the Lord is with me and the enemy will flee. Right? That's what it says. And above, taking the shield of faith with which you're able to quench all the fire of the doubts of the wicked one, goes on, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Proclaiming the word. And you're standing there with your armor and the enemy's trying to beat you up and you're just proclaiming the gospel and you're proclaiming the truth and you're proclaiming that Jesus is your Lord and you're proclaiming that Jesus is victory and that Jesus says it's finished and it's over. The enemy can't even come near you. That's the truth. That's the confidence, the strength that we have. So stir your faith. I'm not saying make up some faith. I'm just saying get to know Jesus so much so that you're so confident in him that you don't care what the enemy has to do. You're not even giving him any time to consider that. Back to Psalm 91. Verses 5 and 6. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. You're not going to be afraid. And that's why I say perfect love, right? Cast out all fear. What more perfect love is there than Jesus Christ? The perfect one. His perfect love. When Jesus is on the scene, there is peace, right? Jesus said, peace, be still. And I believe we can live as Christians in that place of peace, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what's happening around us. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in God. If we're remaining under his safety, under his protection, right? If we're dwelling in that place, if we're under his wings and we're under the shelter of his wings, we're protected by God, then there is no fear, right? How is it, I don't think I put it in my notes, but how is it a little scruffy kid named David, who was a sheep herder, could come up against mighty Goliath with 5 stones and a slingshot? Do you think he was trusting in his own ability? Do you think he said, hey, I'm a pretty good shot? This was a giant. don't know about you, but you might have some giants in your life. But you got God on your side. And that's what David had. He said, you know what, God? With you and my 5 stones, I think we can take this guy. I think that was David's heart. I know that was David's heart. Because he didn't think, well, if I just hit him right between the eyes with this little stone. Yeah, I'm pretty sure God was like, flick. I think God flicked him in the head and knocked him out. And David's like, wow, that was pretty good. But that's the kind of confidence we need to have, guys. That's the kind of confidence that we can have that God is with us. And that was David. David said, God is with us. Who are these Palestinians? God is with us. And with God with you, you can overcome anything. Verse 8, I just want to look at this real quick. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. That word reward, some of your translations may say this, punishment, recompense, or destruction. So it's not talking about the wealth of the wicked, it's talking about the outcome of the wicked. And we are not going to be afraid, but we're going to stand as witnesses watching God judge the wicked world. That's what he's saying here. Only with your eyes, only are you going to look and see the punishment that the wicked will receive. We don't receive it. We're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. I must remain in his provision. I must stay under his protection. Number 3, I must expect his preservation. This is where we're getting good here. Look at verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Okay, he says it again. Because you've made it, now that you've chosen that, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. I must expect his preservation. I must expect him to protect me. Nothing can harm me, truly. You've heard me say it many times. Yes, there's bad things that happen in our lives. But I believe there's a lot of more things that could have happened that God protected us from that we have no idea that he already did. I believe that's what fulfills it. You know, and there's ministries out there that mess around with snakes. You know, they say, hey, they're testing the Lord. Don't test the Lord. He's saying when you find yourself in a pickle, I'm going to take care of you. Don't tempt the Lord. You know, I shouldn't try to walk on water. I'm tempting the Lord. Never works, but you know. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, because this has happened, if we do that, then God will protect us. I tell you, the more we dwell in the presence of God, the more peace we have, the more strength we have. We got to remain in that place. And because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Now we know bad things happen to people, don't they? Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to Christians. But we can be confident in God. If our hairs are numbered and he knows us that intimately, then he's not going to allow anything to happen to us that he doesn't want to happen to us. He's not going to allow anything to happen to us he doesn't want to let happen to us. As long as we, again, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. You can't just accept the Lord at youth camp and then say, good, my life's going to be cool. No. It's dwell there. It remain there. Continually come back to that place. Spend the night with the Lord. Notice he says in 11 and 13, through 13, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot. He's going to keep us in our ways. He's going to keep us in that place. Angels, he's going to give charge over us. Now, I know in the days that we live, there's a lot of talk about angels, a lot of books written about angels. But the thing we need to focus in about angels is whatever's written in here about angels. You know what I'm saying? What do angels do? What about angels in the scriptures? The importance of angels. Now, other than this, I mean, this verse here, we don't really see anything called a guardian angel. But we have the Holy Spirit in us, and he's there to protect us. He's there to guide us and direct us. But I don't think there's anything wrong to believe that God has ministering spirits to protect his people, to be on the job in our time of need. And actually, I heard from, as I was studying this, one pastor said, man, I can't wait to talk to God because I want, or talk to my guardian angel because I want to know where he was every once in a while. It's like there were a few times where I was wondering where he was. God's eye never leaves you. God's eye is always upon you. And even the Lord, you know, it's like on the cross, they were mocking him. Hey, why don't you call for the angels to come and protect you? And the Lord says, listen, I'm not going to abuse the things that God has given to me. I'm not going to abuse the graces that God has given to us. God's angels will come when you have need of them. You hear what I'm saying? When you have need of them. This is the scripture that the enemy uses against Christ. Turn with me there. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. In the first verse, Luke 4, verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, love that, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command the stone to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Verses 10 and 11. Satan, the devil, a fallen angel, quotes Psalm 91 to the Lord and says this, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. Notice what he left out. Notice what the enemy left out. In all your ways. It's amazing to me that the enemy knows that Psalm 91 is a messianic psalm. It just, I don't know what that just fascinates me. That the devil himself knows it's a messianic psalm. Certainly support for us to believe that that's what it is. But the enemy, when he's going to speak to you, he's going to twist the word, didn't he? Right? Remember in the Garden of Eden, he twisted the word of God for Eve. He twisted the word here. In all your ways. Guys, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose and a path for you to walk upon. And if you stay upon that path and walk upon that path, he's going to make sure you get there. Therefore, when he says he shall give angels charge over you to keep you, he's not saying to tempt him. He's not saying live a life, hey, you know, precariously so that you can just tempt the Lord. No, he's saying, walk in the ways that I have for you, and I will make sure you're protected. Paul the apostle, I believe, was a man who knew the path, knew the direction, walked upon it, and trusted God every step of the way. Every step of the way, Paul trusted him. You know, the Holy Spirit hindered him there, the Holy Spirit hindered him there, but the Holy Spirit opened a door here. He was led by the Spirit. He was walking his path. There's going to be times in your life when you're walking along your path, and all of a sudden it feels like there's something holding you back, or something motivating you to move forward, This is God giving his angels charge over you, guiding your life. Be sensitive to those things. God is a God of order. You shouldn't have to force anything to happen. If he wants it to happen, it will happen. Rest in that fact. So don't be motivated by your emotions. Be motivated by the path that God has for you. That's the truth. He shall give his angels charge over to keep you in all your ways. You can be confident of that as a child of God. And you're not going to leave this earth 1 millisecond before God wants you. Not 1 millisecond. That's the confidence that we can have as believers. Again, not living in such a way that we take, you know, our lives into our own hands, but living in such a way, say, God, when you're ready for me, take me. When you're ready, when you're done with me, when you're finished with me. That's how we can have this confidence that this psalm talks about. As we go back to Psalm 91, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 says this: Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? The angels, speaking about angels, they're ministering spirits sent forth from God to minister for those who will inherit salvation, for the believers. Sent to you. The Bible speaks of cherubim, special class of angels. We learned that in the book of Exodus on Wednesday night when we went through that. Archangels, Michael the archangel, right? Brought the message to Mary and to Joseph. Some believe Gabriel was an archangel, although the Bible doesn't specifically say that. They believe Gabriel was also an archangel. They were the highest form of angelic beings. So we see biblically that there's rankings of angels. Rankings. Archangels. Cherubim. And then angels that just are come to minister to us. But listen. Angels were created by God just as you were created. Created by God to be servants for God. Kind of interesting, isn't it? We don't know when angels were created, and we do know biblically that angels can take on human form. In fact, doesn't it say in the Bible? In Hebrews also, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some have unwittingly entertained angels. That's pretty cool. I don't know about you. It's like every time I miss an opportunity, I'm like, I wonder if that was an angel. There's angels around us. There's angels. But we can't miss the true focus of the Lord because of the angels. You see what I'm saying? Angels are there. They're great. They're ministering spirits just like us. They have free will just like you do. The Bible tells us in Revelation, 1/3 of the angels were cast out of heaven. Why? Because Satan was cast out. He was an angel. Because why? He had pride. He had free will. He chose to leave. We have free will. They have free will. Isaiah 14, verses 12 and 13 says this about Satan. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. Satan was an angel that was prideful, that chose to come out. So, angels are here to help us. But listen, you have the Holy Spirit with you all the time. Angels come and go, okay? But the Holy Spirit is there for you at all times, protecting you, guiding you, showing you. I must remain in his provision. I must stay under his protection. I must expect his preservation, and to me, the most important thing. Number four, I must rest in his proclamation. I must rest in his proclamation. And look at these last three verses. The voice of this psalm changes now. Many believe that this is now God speaking. And it says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We must rest in this proclamation, in this truth. Many have taken these verses and claimed them for themselves. In God's response to all these things, he says, because he has set his love upon me. My prayer for us, for myself, for all of us here today, is that Jesus Christ and God is our first priority, our first love. The thing and the person and the spirit that we come to first. Priority. He must be first to set our love upon him. Before anything else in this world, God must be first. Before promotions, before, you know, dividends, before anything, God must be your priority. Listen, even before yourself. Even before yourself. Right? The Bible says, humble ourselves before God, he will lift us up. Make sure God is first. Set your love upon him. Set your heart, really, upon him. And to know his name. See, there's some people in this room who know the Lord. They know his name. They know his character. They know his countenance. They know the way he works. They know that they can trust him. They've seen his work. They've seen his hands. They've seen his provision. They can hear his voice. They know his name. And that's not just God. It's not just knowing his name. It's knowing who he is. The only way you can get to know somebody is by spending time with them. Spending time with the Lord. Knowing his name. So that you can have confidence in him. So you can share that with others. Again, that shield. Trusting and holding that shield up high. Because you have, he says in verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And then again, because he has known my name. Look at the seven things that God says he'll do. He shall call upon me, I will. He says it seven times, I will. I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. He says that again. And honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. See, guys, again, we have our part. Put our love upon him. Know his name. Dwell in his presence. If we do those things, God will do these things. God will provide. He will deliver. He will call, and he's going to answer you. There's some people in this room that are probably asking for God for something, praying right now, waiting for an answer. Trust in the Lord that answer will come when the answer needs to come. Claim these things for yourself. Certainly we can see the hand of God protecting the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that. But we can claim this for ourselves. It certainly is, this psalm is certainly filled with wonderful promises for the believer. But I know what's going on in some people's minds. This all looks great, and if we trust in the Lord and dwell in his presence and do the things he says to do and honor him and stay in his word, then all these things are going to happen. But what happened? I mean, the Lord Jesus had to die. That was the plan, right from the beginning. And Jesus was confident and trusted his protection and lived his life in such peace and such harmony, even though he knew he had to die. Why? Because he knew that that's what he was there for, to do. And he knew that his life was not going to be taken from him, not one second early, until he fulfilled that purpose. Through the Gospels, you see it time and time again. He's in a crowd, and they're ready to stone him, and all of a sudden, and then he got away. He slipped away. It's like that's God's protection upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same protection that we can have today. Don't be afraid of stepping out in faith and trusting the Lord, knowing he's showing you these things, because he's going to take care of the details. And if you want to take this psalm personally, some things are going to happen in here that it says won't happen. That's the fallen condition that we're in. That's the fallen state that we're in. We're living in this world in a fallen way. And bad things happen, listen, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. That young boy was born blind. Why? Jesus said, for the glory of God. Lazarus died. Why? For the glory of God. I mean, I think we should believe that when God wants to take us, he will. We need to believe that our lives are protected by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That there is literally, in the spiritual realm, a surrounding of God's protection, whether it be angels or whatever, his presence. That we have that safety in us. John chapter 11, and we won't turn there. But write this down, read it for later. It is the story about Lazarus when he died. You know, Jesus waited 3 days before he went, and then he says, okay, guys, we're going to go back to Judea, for Lazarus is asleep. And the disciples look to Jesus and say, whoa, Jesus, wait a minute, they're going to stone you there when you go, but you can't go back there. And Jesus looks, and he basically says something along these lines. I'm not quoting the scripture, but he basically says, listen, during the day, we got to do the things during the day. There's a time that the night's coming that we can't do anything any longer. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm here to fulfill a reason and a purpose. And I don't have to be afraid of anybody in Judea or anybody in Jerusalem or anyone, because God, my Father, is not going to let a hair on my head be plucked out until he wants it. And that was the confidence that Jesus was showing his disciples and saying, guys, listen, don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to go out there and share the good news of the gospel. You know, every one of the 12, right? Murdered in some way. Also martyred, taking their heads off. Peter crucified upside down. But what a testimony they have. What a powerful testimony of God's protection until that day. Until God wanted them back. Those who trust the Lord. Listen to me. Those who trust in the Lord completely can be sure of his protection. Can be sure of his protection. We tend to overemphasize the exceptions. But the truth of the matter is God has saved us from so much. And if you truly think about it, God has saved you from so many things. There is safety in God. Security in God is yours if you remain completely in him. Harm's going to come. Difficulties are going to happen. People are going to die. We're going to get sick. Cancer's in the world. These things happen to us. But until we put our trust completely in God, we're going to worry about those things. And there are those things are going to hold us back. But if we can be confident and say, Lord, this week, I don't care what comes again, I'm going to believe that you're going to help me get through it and walk with that confidence. Why? Because the armor's there, the protection's there, the shield is up. Enemy, fire all the darts you want. I'm protected. You can rest in that. One of my favorite stories, and it's in the, I'm not going to remember now. I think it's in chapter 12 of the book of Acts, is when Peter is in prison, chained between two guards, and the next morning he's going to be killed. And it says, and Peter slept. I don't know about you, but to me, that's resting in the Lord. If somebody told me tomorrow I'm executed, I'm up all night. It's going to happen. Or is it? Or can I say, Lord, if that's your will, let it be. That's the trust. That's the security we have in God. That, Lord, you have angels. You have ways to protect us. You have ways to care for us. And we've seen him do miracles. That's another thing. Believe God can do a miracle in your life. Wow. I've seen him do it in my life. I've seen him do it in others' lives. God's in the business of doing miracles. Not because I'm more lovable than you are. Not because someone else is more lovable than anyone. No. The reason he heals one person from a sickness in the hospital and not another is in his hands. But we can trust in God's goodness and in God's faithfulness. Trust in that. Remain in that. Dwell in that place. Father, we thank you that we can be secure in you as long as we remain under the safety of your wing, under your protection. God, forgive us when we drift. Forgive us when we stray off the path. Forgive us when we step outside of the boundaries that you've set in your word. Probably every single person in this room was told when they were young, don't touch that hot stove. But we all did. We had to learn for ourselves. And many of us have stepped outside those boundaries that you've set to test. We found you to be true. So God, as we end 2013 and we look to 2014, God, I pray we hold our shields of faith high, and we stand in confidence, knowing that those darts that the enemy is going to throw at us will not penetrate. They're just going to bounce right off because you are greater. God, bless your people. Bless our new year. Keep us safe. Let us just bring in the new year with prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Because we want you to be glorified. We want you to be magnified. Use us, God, this year for your purpose. And we just want to see miracles happen more this year. Let us believe by faith that you're going to do miracle after miracle. And let us be aware of those things. We love you, God. Bless us as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.